What an angel you are. You brought me life. What an absolutely heavenly. Thanks a thousand.
Vicki Scott, Mark's sister in New York, makes a mistake about a bouquet of lilacs. And also in today's episode of Against the Storm, Reed Wilson hears a scrap of news at the cafe from the world she lost. Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by Procter & Gamble, the makers of Ivory Soap. Well, we're going to have a little quiz today. I'd like to see if you ladies have been paying attention to my pep talk here about Ivory Soap for dishwashing. I'd just like to see if you can check off the points I mentioned about why Ivory Soap is so popular for dishwashing. Okay, let's go. Now, what's the first reason Ivory is such a swell soap in the dishpan?
Huh?
That's right, because it's pure. If everybody's got that one. Why, even babies know that. Sure, Ivory's the soap that so many doctors advise for bathing kind of babies. All right, here's next question. Ivory purity does what for your hands? It helps your hands stay soft and smooth. No wonder so many women say they don't dread dishwashing anymore when they know that ivory will help their hands stay nice year in and year out. Well, can you think of the next reason ivory is so good for dishes? Give you a hint, it rhymes with mystery. Don't see it, isn't it? Ivory's thrifty. Yep, it costs less than a penny a day to float a big cake of pure ivory in your dish pan. Incidentally, that business of floating is another point you might check. Lots of women say they like the convenience of having that big white cake of ivory right there on top of the water where they can reach it. And you know, the fresh, clean smell of ivory makes a hit with a lot of folks, too. Ivory doesn't make you sneeze like so many of those granulated soaps. That's another good point in his favor. Well, friends, that's about all the good reasons I can think of for doing dishes with ivory soap. But if you know of any others, I wish you'd drop me a line and tell me about them. Meanwhile, keep a nice big white cake of ivory floating in your dishpan every day. See? Sad dust of the city street. Makes itself heard in every voice that calls a cheerful, bangle greeting above the noise of traffic. In his fourth floor apartment, Dr. Reimer sits in an open window working on one of his endless translations. He pauses now and again to look down into the street. The scene is drab compared to his memories of other springtime at home on the Boulevard Frederick. But Dr. Reimer smiles with deep content, and he recognizes the same spirit as in this spring as in those at home. Perhaps he's influenced by the music he hears from the apartment below. He knows it's Brooke Lewis playing, even though today he seems to have drifted into a lighter mood than his usual one. It's rather a long time, Dr. Reimer remembers, since he's heard Mr. Lewis playing. And Mickey Scott, not Scott's sister, was thinking the same thought as he hurries up the stairs to her own door.
My eyes and ears kind of all
zero. Hello, Nicky. Nice to see you.
My word, it is you. Mr. Lewis, I presume.
Say, I'm on the way, am I? Just thought I'd drop over and play for a while. You know you'd be home so early.
Well, pardon me. And here I thought you'd come over by special inspiration, knowing I'd be home early. Where have you been for 10 weeks?
10 weeks? Come on, Nick. It isn't that long since I've seen you.
Well, it seems like 10. But you can see how much we missed you.
We? Who's we?
Cicero and I. Who do you think?
Cicero? Oh, that darn mouse. Say, don't mice go to the country or something for the summer?
I don't know. I should think they would at that. But not Cicero. Poor Cicero and Mickey. Bound to the horrors of summer in the city. Has it been a beastly day?
Oh, it's good to get my head off.
Beastly day? I thought it was a swell day. Warm as summer.
That's the idea, my pet. On a day like this, all I can think of is... there's a purling of a stream somewhere in a field of daisies walking barefoot. Oh,
my God, your hair is pretty.
What did you say?
I said your hair is pretty. When you were taking it out just now, I noticed how soft it looks.
Well, good. I really.
Very nice color in this light. Say, wouldn't it be a good evening to have a supper in the park?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I think it is.
Well, I mean, would you like to have supper in the park?
Brooke, next to the purling stream in the daisy field, that sounds like the only thing I've been living for all day.
Good. Now put your hat back on and let's go then.
Listen, just a minute. You go on with your plane, will you, Brooke, while I change?
Hey, no. You look fine as you are. Let's go while there's still plenty of daylight.
I've got a new dress and I'll wear it or die. It only takes me 5 minutes.
Okay, but you know what the park pavilion is like. It's not the starlight roof.
What'd you say, Brooke?
Nothing. Just you hurry up.
Why, Brooke, you're an angel. Lilacs. Oh, they're absolutely heavenly.
Hmm? What's the matter? Oh, they're nice, aren't they?
Oh, they're wonderful. Thanks a thousand, Brooke. And you even found a vase for them. Why didn't you tell me they were waiting for me in here?
Oh, wait a second. I never saw those flowers before.
What? But didn't you?
I don't know a thing about them.
Oh, really? Well, isn't that a fascinating mystery? Who do you suppose?
Somebody just walk in here and leave them for you?
Well, someone must have got the janitor to let them in. Oh, of course I know. Kathy Ryan.
Oh, is she here now?
Oh, no, she's visiting her grandfather. Of course it's Mr. Kathy who brought them in. Isn't she an angel?
Nice little kid.
Oh, is there anything as devastating as a bouquet of fresh lilacs not quite strung out? Smell them, Brooke.
Ah, fine. Reminds me of a big purple lilac bush we had out in the backyard at home. It was always a great thing to be allowed to take a bunch of those lilacs to Tripoli. First spring day, they were really out.
Yes, wasn't it? I remember we had one from the home. Well, excuse me. I'll just put these back and I'll be with you in about 3 minutes for sure.
Becky Scott is annoyed with herself, first for the highly ridiculous somersault that her heart seemed to execute, and Brooke Lewis remarked that her hair was pretty. Then for the mistake about the lilacs. It was a painful mistake, and she can only hope that Brooke may have been unaware how painful it was. Small comfort in that thought, too. Upstairs, Kathy Reimer is arranging another large bouquet of lilacs, and a small one for the supper table. She and her grandfather are expecting a guest tonight, Mr. Reed Wilson, the foreign correspondent whom Kathy met on a boat that brought her to America last winter. Mr. Wilson, uptown at this moment, is having cocktails with a fellow correspondent who has just returned from Europe.
Well, girl, please welcome home. And don't forget the little 6 bit.
Oh, what do you mean? What for?
Well, don't you remember? If you are, sir, I bet you 6 bit will be back in the States before June, and you said you'd never get back alive.
Say, and that's what's that.
I'm darn glad to pay up on that one.
Doggone good to see you, too.
Going back next week, I suppose?
Who, me?
Right now, I'm never going any farther east of New York than Fire Island. A month from now, who knows? When are you going back?
I don't know.
Hey, you didn't come back here and get married, did you?
Nope.
Why not? I thought you and Carolyn Stewart.
Well, you married the other guy while I was in Poland.
Oh, too bad, though.
All of the good, as a matter of fact.
I saw her the other day. I don't like the shape of her nose.
No, it was really okay.
Carolyn and I would never have made a go of it.
Hey, how long have we been here? What time is it?
I don't know. About 6:05, 6:06. Why?
Going back to the office?
No, we've got a dinner engagement. 6:45 down 11th Street.
Hey, that reminds me. Did you ever get that letter I sent you right after I got back to the States?
No. How many times did you write me a letter?
That one letter.
Oh, then I got it, sure.
I asked you to keep your eyes and ears open for a couple of young fellows.
Yeah, I remember their names. I tore up your letter and memorized their names. Corbin Reimer and Manuel...
That's right.
Did you? No, I never found a case for them. Who the dickens are they? Where'd you hear about them? What's the story?
Oh, they happen to mean a lot to a couple of friends of mine.
Exactly. No, no mention of the well-known storm they disappeared in. And all I know about that is John Keel, they went after, and that pleasant little party will circle their lives. Or with any life worth living. There's a slim chance that they were healthy lads, that they may be at work on a cruise somewhere. Munitions factory, road building, or some such thing.
Yeah, I suppose that. But they might be free somewhere, except that they can't get out of the country. Isn't that possible?
But they've been out of touch with their families for a long time, haven't they?
2 years.
It's a long time, Reed.
If you'd lost your girl like that, would you still feel there was hope of finding her, I mean?
Well, for Pete's sake.
One of those boys was a sweetheart of the young lady at whose house I'm having dinner.
Oh, I see.
I'm just wondering if I ought to tell her exactly what you said, or if I just ought to tell her that there's still hope.
Oh, heck, Reed. Sure, there's always hope.
Especially when it's spring again, and a bouquet of lilacs on the table can rebuild a world out of nothing. No one in his heart can really believe that everything must of necessity be lost and destroyed against the storm. Did you know it's over 60 years since Ivory Soap first came on the market? Yet more than three generations of housewives have been using this pure, white, floating soap in dozens of ways. Dishwashing, for instance, has always been one of the most popular uses of Ivory Soap. Naturally, a soap that's pure enough for a baby's skin will be kind to your hands and the dishpan. And Ivory, you know, is the soap so many doctors advise for bathing tiny babies. So try Ivory for your dishes and see how soft and smooth it helps your hands look. And remember, you can help keep them that way if you use only Ivory for all your dishwashing. Another reason you'll enjoy using Ivory regularly in the dishpan is because it's such a thrifty soap. Two of those generous large-size cakes, for instance, will take care of all your dishwashing for more than 3 weeks. Get a supply of those thrifty big cakes today, won't you?
Kathy, I saw a friend of mine today, though I haven't seen in quite a while. He told me... What the dickens was I going to say? Oh, yes. He told me there was an awfully good movie he thought we ought to see.
Reed Olson shouldn't have looked into Kathy's eyes just then, or he might have told her what he meant to say. Instead, he said a good many other things. In tomorrow's episode of Against the Storm. Ralph Edwards saying good day for the makers of Ivory Soap and Ivory Flakes. Ivory Flakes are Ivory Soap in quick-dissolving flake form. So if you use that big blue box of Ivory Flakes for dishwashing, you give your hands the protection of the same famous ivory purity you get in Ivory Soap. 99 and 44, 100% pure. It floats. Following the guiding light as closely as you followed Against the Storm? I hope you have, because both programs are equally good to listen to. Stay tuned in to the same station for the guiding light, which follows at once. This is the National Broadcasting Company.